Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, the movie review and talk show podcast that comes your way every Saturday, whether you're ready for it or not, because we're still many years in now on that quest to take over the world. How are we doing with that?
I don't know. You could be ready for it. You're just going to look for the signs. Yeah. There's a whole Rube Goldberg thing that happens before this episode comes out. Colin, everyone's just asleep at midnight, so they don't see it. Yeah. But a whole thing falls off your wall on your shelf and pushes the download button on your phone.
Yes. Yeah. We have to make it much more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, much more.
Yeah. These people who are talking to you are the internet radio superstars.
Sean.
Michaela.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Michaela. What was our destination tonight?
The second final destination. Final destination two.
I always have to just wipe a little tear away from my eye and be proud in these moments where we bring in movies where we haven't watched the first one and we're going straight for the sequel. Makes me proud.
Well, we did Final Destination 3 already.
The first one's too good to be on the Freak Show.
Right.
And the other four have plenty to talk about.
I keep getting forced to watch these, I'm like, all right, I kind of want to see what the fourth one does.
Final Destination 5 is one of my favorites.
Yeah, Final Destination.
Yeah. No, that's four.
Right. There's a five.
The Final Destination is four.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Final Destination 5 is 5.
Even before we get into who did... Yeah. So, okay, lay it out for me.
Uh-huh.
One is the plane.
This is the plane, yep, with
two
Devin Sawa.
Is
the logging truck
tonight.
And the pileup.
Two is the one that every millennial will tell you.
Yes.
What is the beginning
traumatized of the generation.
The generation.
Yeah.
Three.
Is the roller coaster carnival, which we did on the show, March 2020. You can go back and listen.
Yep.
Four.
The race car track.
NASCAR.
Okay. Yep. And a car hood cuts someone in half. All the pieces go into the stands.
And five.
A bridge collapse. Okay. A suspension bridge collapse. So there's lots of snapping cables and cool shit. Yeah.
You're right.
And
what's
four and five were in 3D.
Yes.
But not
of course.
Three.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no. The boom of 3D was really just like everything's got to be in 3D.
Yeah. Five has some of my favorite sequences,
even
I think.
The title sequence of five, I remember.
Five's got what's her name in it, doesn't it? Three names.
Elizabeth Winstead.
No, that's number three. That's number three that we did on the show. Has Mary three.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm all off on the lore of the Final Destination.
Yeah, because this is what I'm saying.
Tony Todd play a bigger role later.
Yeah,
on?
Pretty
in
much.
The fifth one.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember in the fifth one he comes. Is he in all of them?
He's in all of them.
He's in all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as I know,
I think
maybe not four.
I think there's one he's not in. You may hear the him.
No, it's the third. No, he's in it. Doesn't he have a voice cameo in the third one? But you don't actually see him.
I think
you
that,
hear his voiceover. I think that's the third one.
Okay,
yeah.
But he is.
Go listen to our episode.
He's the coroner in five.
Yes,
but he's a mortician in one and two, and possibly okay. We're gonna explain what the hell we're talking about.
Yes.
First of all, what year did Final Destination 2 come out?
2003.
And it was directed by...
Hold on, I have his name.
This is
David
different.
Ellis.
David
R. Ellis, yes. Okay, which this is where it's going to get interesting.
Okay.
David R. Ellis, first movie was Homeward Bound 2.
Yep.
Then he goes to freak show favorite, Cellular.
I like that movie.
It just got brought up like 2 weeks ago.
It really did.
Final Destination 2 was right before Cellular. And then after that, Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, he's a Snakes on a Plane guy.
And the Final Destination, which is the fourth one, and arguably worst one, I would say.
Oh, okay.
And then Shark Knight 3D. You remember that movie that came out? That was his last movie. But we're really burying the lead here. The writers of this movie... Eric Bress and J. Mac Gruber. Do they sound familiar? Because they watched, they wrote and directed The Butterfly Effect.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you not?
Yeah.
That's why I was making The Butterfly Effect jokes during this.
No, I did not catch that at all. Holy cow.
And I said on our Butterfly Effect, Sean, I think you thought this was a Final Destination movie because they do feel very similar.
They could, you could play them back to back.
Wait, so this was 2002. Well, your Butterfly Effect was
2005? So
that is like the Final Destination guys.
2004.
Yeah.
Well, wait, let's see.
Okay, because when we were watching...
We just did this movie.
Yeah. We did, and we all just went, no more trauma. We forgot it. We forgot our trauma.
Yeah, so that... Okay. Well, I guess that places it as, like, they got hired because it was maybe
2004,
Butterfly Effect,
so a year after this.
So was Butterfly Effect, like, a discarded idea for a Final Destination movie?
It feels
movie?
Like it.
Wasn't it also a New Line Cinema movie?
Yes. Which is why
we are. Time is a flat circle. We just did the same episode twice, basically.
Yeah.
Because, wow. Colin, that was when we watched Butterfly Effect, you said, when was the last time you saw a New Line Cinema movie? And then tonight you said, when was the last time you saw a New Line
Cinema
movie?
Well, yeah, I meant like in theater.
That's right. A sign, and one of us is going to die.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, wait, was the Butterfly Effect episode just a premonition of this episode?
I guess so.
It was the premonition of the baby who was born in this movie.
Wait, is the baby that was born in this movie the baby that blows up with the mailbox?
Oh, there we go.
Effect?
We'll say that. We'll say
there
that.
Was a baby in this movie that was having
trouble.
Yeah,
this is why I made the jokes.
Was
connected.
Wrapped around its.
They really like going back to that well.
Yeah.
I would say let's watch other things, but they haven't written too much.
No.
So I'm like, but if there's a baby strangling itself in every single thing they do,
that's their
bravo
calling
to them.
Card. Yeah,
they got,
I hope
they
so.
Got a thing. Mm-hmm. That's their nuclear apocalypse, like James Cameron. Okay, so
Destination 2,
the Final Destination, we're all in agreement, even though we're not watching it on this show, but we are in agreement that one we all enjoyed. Final Destination.
It's a great movie, yeah.
The first
absolutely.
One.
The first one, because it
great
kind
movie.
Of,
I think
all
it's
of a sudden, it was like, it's
not
a
overly
horror
complicated.
Movie. Well, the deaths are, mm-hmm. right? But it's a horror movie without, like, I guess it does. It has, like, a spectral antagonist, but who is never represented.
There's no monster or slasher. It's a slasher movie without a slasher in it, you know?
Right.
Like,
it's like death itself, mm-hmm. a force of nature, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. But there's no like physical form or anything. It's just
that's what I liked about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a shadow, a breeze, and death is right there.
Yeah, but you never see anything. It never talks. I guess in the first one, I think the impression that I had maybe was that Tony Todd was like an earthly personification of death,
mm-hmm.
Just because he knows too much.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, he knows things that no normal quote unquote human would know.
And I like this.
Some access to the other side.
And for Tony Todd, I like this that like he had, you know, Candyman famously, he is one of the 80s and 90s Mount mm-hmm. Rushmore pantheon of horror movie monsters.
Yep.
But like, you don't really. I mean, I guess I don't hold the coroner or the mortician in as high regard, but it's cool that he has this series of other movies where he's also a horror a mainstay through those.
And he's Venom now. He was the voice of Venom in the Spider-Man.
Was he really?
Spider-Man 2, the video game. He's Venom.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
That makes sense. That makes
like
sense.
If anyone's, he was in, I mean, he's been in tons, but Hellfest that came out not so long ago. He's one of the, he's like a Carnival Barker in that. He's not he's not in it very long, but.
He's the big star, I think, in, you know, it was
he's a bona fide
Todd.
To get
he's
for
like,
your movie.
Yeah, if you get him or Robert Englund, right, you're basically kind of saying.
Then you're doing much better than getting Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
That's when you hit a level you're just like, okay, we couldn't afford Tony Todd or we'll get Malcolm McDowell. So there are levels to this. Mm-hmm. Where are you sitting in the convention circuit?
Mm-hmm. I feel like Keith David's on that same level too.
He's
you
there,
get
yeah.
him in your movie, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And Keith David. Yeah.
It's been a while mm-hmm. since I've seen him in. Wasn't he the voice of TNT for the longest time?
I think so.
He did all the promos.
He's been in TV a lot lately.
Well, this is Keith David, we're talking about?
Yeah, but that was probably a decade ago at least.
So much voiceover work, especially on like maybe attack videos, like, but then he waited and the shark came. Like he's like he does a lot of voiceover work. You hear him and you're just like, ah.
Yeah.
I know him.
Rube Goldberg, you talked about. I think we talked about him a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there is kind of a debt, I think, that these movies owe to at least an idea. He popularized, I suppose, the idea of the Rube Goldberg machine. I guess that's what they were called, right?
Right.
He was a cartoonist in the 20s or
this
something like
thing.
That.
I don't know anything about him. Like, okay.
I think that's
that.
It. I don't think he built these machines.
So how did
I think,
he get associated with them?
He was a cartoonist. I don't remember which paper for, but like he would draw you know, some elaborate contraption.
This happens.
It's an overly complicated way of pulling off a simple, you know, outcome, yes. right? I mean, like the game Mousetrap.
Right. Yes. Or if you've ever, like, go to Instagram and look at Reels, mm-hmm. eventually you'll get to a video where it's a Rube Goldberg machine of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's what, you know, people trying to get internet fame. It used to be stacking VHS
tapes. That was the original, yes.
a domino, and it has gone up from there. Yes. You see a bunch of them. They animate them now, too. It's all out there. Yep.
Yeah, you've seen those, this is probably years ago, right? But I was transfixed by OK Go, the band. Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Had those
so popular for doing that shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, my God. Yep. Mm-hmm. Come up with, yeah.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
But in this series of movies, then it's like death. He uses some kind of elaborate.
You can't cheat death twice, according to the tagline of this movie. So no matter what happens, death will find a way, even if it's insanely complicated, to get you.
It'll circle back somehow. Yeah.
But I like that. It's the idea that it is you kind of using the room, mm-hmm. you know, to maneuver you into the exact right spot where some kind of random thing that you couldn't possibly see causing your death ends mm-hmm. up being the cause of your death.
Right. And it makes you kind of feel like if you went back and investigated like just random deaths you hear in the news or something like that. Like if you went back, you could find a clue that leads mm-hmm. to the Goldberg machine that killed that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always think of. I'm just like, well, every random death I think of now, I'm going to think like, oh, what started this? And how long did that machine take before they died?
Well, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what life is. And you have that butterfly effect where, you know, something. Okay. So.
Wah, wah, wah.
This movie, right? Is this, because I think you mentioned it, is this the Final Destination movie that is the most talked about, the most high regarded, the most seen?
Yes.
Because of its, everyone has driven down a highway before.
Yes.
Right?
And there are, again, go online and you see a picture of a truck carrying logs.
Yes.
And
all the comments.
Go to the comments.
Yeah.
It's like, not today, Satan. Yeah. Like, all.
I saw everyone, Final Destination.
Yep, yeah. Everyone knows. Yeah. It's like, nope, mm-hmm. that's going to kill you. Mm-hmm. It is the seared into the consciousness.
Even when I saw the trailer for this movie, right, mm-hmm. I remember a movie from the 1990s, and it was called Body Parts. Okay, anybody?
No, Jeff Fahey,
where he gets to the arms.
Yes, yeah. But do you remember? Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
There's maybe a scene, pieces, the way no. the reason it how he gets the body parts is because he's like driving along on the highway, and the car up ahead of him has like the you know he sees the wobbly tire,
uh-huh.
and it causes this and that. Always to me was like
right.
you know after you see that you're like shit, and that's why I'm like, did these guys see
always
body
probably.
Parts or
always
you know possible. It was like we could do a much bigger version.
Yeah, what if
of
the
that?
Movie was that?
Yeah,
the genius thing. Yeah, that. About picking the like a. Car pileup is like driving is the most dangerous thing we do every day. This is the most realistic
and
horror.
Like,
said,
everyone fucking drives.
Right. Yeah, like, and like I can avoid a NASCAR wreck real easy.
Sure.
Just don't go see NASCARs. You know.
And I won't get on that.
Yeah,
wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are easy to avoid. And you know,
and you can avoid flying if you really need to.
Right. But yeah, man, you
but
can't avoid the highway.
On, drive down the highway.
Yep.
Yeah. We have to get somewhere. You're not going to take a horse and buggy. And I mean, even there,
but there was
you get stomped to death by.
I was gonna say in number three, remember there was a horse that causes the whole
final,
fucking thing.
There is, you're very much right. But you wait till Final Destination Bloodlines, and then they will bring in the horse. By the way, we are making a new Final Destination movie.
Oh, happy day!
With the subtitle Bloodlines.
Yes.
Oh,
blow your brains out enough already.
Yeah.
Happy
but
day.
They even the filmmakers commented on it as well. It was just like it was always the title. We know that it's the title for every direct to video. They know, so they might change it. They really.
They really should.
It, but they should
oh,
change it.
Oh, no. But you know what that could mean? Because it just occurs to me
somebody's
that...
Somebody's kid.
No, Tony Todd's character is Mr. Bloodworth.
Bloodworth, yeah.
Bloodworth lines?
Yeah.
Is that where they're going?
No.
I think they should treat the Final Destination movies like the Predator movies. Set it at any time, any setting, whatever. It's just got to be death coming after people.
Yeah,
right?
But that would be more interesting.
Yeah.
I think, but that is one of the, I guess, criticisms that I would have about this movie, mm-hmm. which I think after this one, they kind of were able to get away from it. But this movie is really related to the first one so much. Like, the way they treat it is, you know, but it's almost like they're treating it like the first one was a huge success and people heard of Final Destination, mm-hmm. and now there's like a whole bunch of people in the audience who somehow heard about the first movie but didn't see it.
Yeah.
And so we have to fucking re-explain from the ground up how all of this is connected to the first movie, mm-hmm. to this Flight 180.
But speaking in a way that would only make sense to people who saw the first movie.
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't.
Does it, though? Because they
I think that's the only way you can understand some of this stuff.
They explain it all to you. Like, they are telling you all the way through, this kid survived. He had these dreams.
The whole beginning of this movie is a guy sitting down on TV. Basically explaining everything.
Yes, in like a one-on-one interview style, like newscasts, explaining like how death is a specter that comes for people.
For the people who are just like, let's go see a scary movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, we got to catch you up. This is mm-hmm. Final Destination 2. But it is, hilariously talking down to the audience. I think like in that initial, like, the death has a design, and if you somehow interfere with death's design, then death will eventually come and get you anyway.
There's no vagueness to it. It is directly exactly the movie.
So our central characters are, well, yeah, I mean, I guess there's like 15 people or something like that. Is there 10? You're gonna, so the movie is gonna be like, I mean, this is the format of a Final Destination movie.
Right. Especially in the second one, where they're just like, it wasn't broken the first one. Let's
just do it again. Yeah. Except they had in this one a better chain reaction opening inciting incident. Than the plane.
I don't know if I'd say better. Maybe equal.
This
to,
one's pretty.
It's good.
Over the top. It's pretty complex.
It's definitely more over the top.
Yeah.
Definitely more intricate. Definitely a lot more to the machine.
But then a character will have a premonition.
Mm-hmm.
That character will interfere with death's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People will survive the catastrophe, and then they will all end up dying in horribly gory ways. Throughout the rest of the movie, while the surviving cast worked to try and figure out how do we stop it, which
pitched to a studio executive.
Yes,
that was right there.
Did you know? I think we talked about it on Final Destination 3. You know about this?
Mm-hmm.
The origin of where Final Destination came from.
No. Oh, that it was an X-Files episode, right? Yep, yes. I do remember that, which makes total sense. Like, you could see this being a really good X-Files episode, I think. Yeah. It would be a really good one.
Like, they would dig into it a little bit.
Yeah.
It would be good.
They would get into the death side of it a bit more, I think. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, because the writers, it was Glenn Morgan and James Wong,
mm-hmm.
right, where mm-hmm. they were X-Files, like, staff writers, mm-hmm. right? And then they had this idea, didn't work for mm-hmm. the show, and then that's where Final Destination came from. Mm-hmm. Who are we going into this movie with?
We've got AJ Cook.
Mm-hmm.
We have,
she's become, like, famous since, right?
I've always...
on TV.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I've always known her just because she showed up in this movie. She showed up in, what is the skiing movie? With it's got like Zach.
Ski Patrol.
No. I'm gonna look her up because she was in something else.
Out Cold.
Out Cold. That's
I have
it.
Not seen
was,
that.
Oh yeah, that was the big one. Out Cold, the big ski comedy. Yeah. You know, back when they're doing Road Trip and all those other movies.
Yeah.
It was kind of in that vein. Which is her going from blonde to brunette was a big thing.
Mm. Gotcha.
What's the CBS show that she's on, though? Is it like Criminal Minds?
She was. Oh yeah, Criminal Minds.
Yeah, she's on Criminal Minds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. She was on that for a long time.
Okay.
She's Kimberly Corman, and this is one of the many of string of like
Corman.
Horror movie reference named characters.
Right.
They did on the first
on
movie too. Yeah.
From the first one, mm-hmm. Val Luton, and a bunch of other ones,
mm-hmm.
Billy Hitchcock, what have you. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's some Carpenter.
Officer Shrek. Like Max Shrek.
Yeah.
Yep.
That always cracked me up because they say it out loud. Officer Shrek.
Even though it's different writers, it's still that's part of being a Final Destination movie. That's actually kind of, you know, that synopsis that I just laid out is basically a template for, I would say, four of the five.
Yes.
But the fifth one
is different.
Yeah. Which I think kind of.
It's a spoiler to say how it's different, but it's different.
Yeah.
So AJ Cook and her friends are part. She's the one. Okay, so she has the vision.
Yeah.
Before getting on the highway,
driving to Daytona.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're driving to the NASCAR race that happens in the fourth movie?
Yes.
The Daytona 500.
There's nothing that says they aren't. So I'm gonna say yes.
Could
did
be.
The fourth movie not come back around and comment on that?
Same weekend as
the
that big
fourth
crash
movie
on the
felt
highway.
So different than the rest of them. The fourth
they're
movie,
unrelated at that point. But I like that because the like, why do these characters, like everybody in this movie knows they're being told and it's always being reinforced to us. Like that's literally, I think, the only thing that people have to talk to each other about as characters in this movie are talking about the mythology of the movie. And they have to expand the mythology at some point.
Or just randomly when they come up with the idea to, like, what did they say? Like sealing the seam or something? Like there was sealing the rift. There was a rift in something that needs to be sealed.
There's a rift in Death's design.
Yeah, but we didn't know about this rift until she said, we're going to seal it by doing this.
But they also have the power of, like, as soon as they speak it out loud, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like that is, there's no question about it. If they say it out loud, that is what's happening.
Yep. Yeah. That's how the writers are just dumping exposition at us. I think there was like, maybe we're going to do it backwards this time. The way that people died, we're going to do it backwards. I wasn't entirely clear on the why.
This is my one a problem with the movie, I think, is that in the first one, there was at least, they had diagrams and shit. Mm-hmm. Like even like accidentally, they knew the path of the blast. At least you knew.
Yeah, by the seating chart.
The movie told you who was going to go, and it even showed you. In this, I have no idea.
Right.
No, because I don't remember the sequence of how everybody wrecked to go.
Even just watching the plane in the first one, I would have no idea who died first and what have you, because the movie tells you, and I think a very good way.
Yeah.
This one doesn't.
Yeah, no. Seat numbers is a good idea. That's smart, right?
They were sitting up front, and the blast came to them for
This one is just like, it could be anyone. Mm-hmm. And they mention it like, oh, she's going for it. Like, it's confusing who you're supposed to be like kind of looking out for.
Right.
All right. I have a philosophical question. Ooh, I guess with this movie that I maybe it was in the first movie that I can't quite understand. So death, right? Is, so time just kind of sits there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything's been predetermined. Somehow, some person is able to interfere with a predetermined thing. And then it's not even like death is a personified thing going in there. It's just like a force trying to get everything back on the rails.
Mm.
So how did the premonitions, like, that implies then that there's a counterforce, right?
Yeah, this is never explored.
Have a premonition?
Yeah, why do they get chosen? Right.
If it is on, like you say, like predetermined and we're on a track for these people to die, who's
interfering? Yeah.
Wait until Final Destination Bloodlines, am I right?
Yeah. All right. Now you sold me.
I am the opposite of sold. Just because it's called Bloodline.
What if they even just did an anthology and it was just a bunch of little shorts, like even just like, you know, one room guy Final Destinationing. You know what I'm saying? Like, just make jump around and do a bunch of not connected shorts. It could work.
There's a lot.
Like the Animatrix.
Sure.
Right.
I was thinking more like a creep show thing, you know?
They could do so much with this, I think. I even like the idea of like Old West, Final Destination.
Yeah, exactly. But
how
why
many
not?
Ways can you die?
Yeah.
Like,
there's a million ways to die in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it. All right.
Feudal Japan, Final Destination.
There you run into the Ninja Turtles there.
I was kind of disappointed this one didn't use more of the demon wind. And it was also like, I was like, how come they didn't just call this movie The Death List? You know,
because Final Destination's a great pun. It's so good. Especially because you see the plane screen in the first one say, now arriving to your final destination.
Well, it works for a plane
movie. Yeah.
Right.
But it's like, okay, we all know that we're going to our final destination.
Jesus.
Okay, so the initial wreck is horrifying.
Yes.
Chain comes off a log truck, logs bounce and smash faces, but they also fuck up the other cars. A lot happens. I can't keep track of it all because the motorcycle gets pinned.
The cop, a log goes through his windshield and right through him and out the other side. Mm-hmm. Nice and bloody on the other end of that. That's good. The motorcyclist falls off and gets crushed by his own motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who won the lottery, he drives through a semi truck gas can or a gas tank, blows up. He should be gone in pieces. We come back to him like a couple seconds later, and he's sitting in his car burning. As the truck comes to the fire and finishes him off. I love the truck in this because it sounds like it's laughing.
It does.
As the tires squeak, it just sounds like it's laughing in this movie, which is very fun.
Vitamin of cocaine guy.
Cocaine guy. He. That's just a crash.
I think he looks up in a truck. Comes at him.
Yep. The kid with the bottles that was
right,
that has the 2 liter
bottles.
Yeah.
It gets stuck under his mom's foot, so she can't push the brake. Yep. So they do a big flippy, and they're dead. A lot of people just kind of die.
Yeah. Lots of explosions. Holy explosions. Yeah. It's
and it ends. It builds a lot of crescendo. Carpet. So there's the biggest explosion, and that's how you know it's over.
Yeah. AJ Cook is her SUV with all her friends. Does a couple of flips on the highway. They end up fine, but then as they're watching the one guy burn to death, the truck comes through the fire.
Yes.
Coming together. It's a well. It's
it
a
it
really
looks like
well
a vengeful truck, though. It looks like you thought you could get away.
There's almost a smile in the grill. You're just like, oh, shit. It's coming for me.
So the writers, of which I think there were three on the screenplay, on the right?
I think there were two on the screenplay, three on the story.
Okay, and the two are the butterfly effect.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So their primary thing that they were able to bring to the movie, I assume this is why, you know, you had this brain trust, was we have to come up with these sequences, right? Yes. And so, I mean, is that
pigeons.
How you
look out for pigeons?
Is that how you judge a Final Destination movie?
Absolutely.
Is it like a Friday the 13th
movie? The only reason you go see a Final Destination movie, you want to see the creative and inventive kills.
It's the same as Saw.
Yeah,
or whatever.
These people don't matter. These people are fodder for the mousetrap. Like,
yeah, once you can have the really great idea, which would be Final Destination, but then like you get pushed into line and just like they're coming for the kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of end up in that lane most of the time.
It did. It felt like it. The first half was kind of like, okay, we have a kill, and then there's a little while later till there's another kill. But as you rocket toward the ending, it did feel like it was like one right after the other. Yeah. They were just like going into it. Like, okay, here
so
we
much
go.
So that a character asks a question, and then 45 seconds later, it's answered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, not much mystery there. We're just going.
I did appreciate that kind of, that's like efficiency, I suppose, in the, I can't remember if the other ones had that, because I guess I'm sitting here going like, well, what movie did I like
the
best?
Three had pacing problems.
Three
but
also had one of the best scenes in this series with the gym.
And the tanning. Death. The gym death and the tanning bed death are iconic.
I just
like
the aggro gym death.
Yes.
Where
the two swords
the
come down and slash the cords on the
like,
weight machine.
Like so much happens so quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
remember that one. That was good. Yeah. And I remember the tanning bed death.
Yeah. Cooking alive.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I remember some of them from four.
There was the car wash one that's really good.
Don't they steal from the
No, that's three.
That's three. Okay. Yep. Oh, right, because three was the one where you could save them.
Yeah.
In the Blu-ray. They released the Blu-ray and it's just like, would you like to save
your own adventure? Yeah. Yep. Blu-ray.
Which is what they should do for these movies.
Yeah, like, wasn't four the one that it stole like a swimming pool death from like Chuck Palahniuk's what was the name? Of his Haunted
Guts.
Or whatever.
Yeah, Guts was the short story in Haunted.
Isn't
which
that
is
in?
Horrifying.
They just like stole that?
Yeah, but not kinda. As good. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But doesn't the guy's guts come shooting out of a drain at
I
some point?
I think so.
Yeah.
Four is the one I watch the least because it's my least favorite.
Yeah, all right.
It's the most cynical of them all for some reason. So it really got to a dark point with that one. Yeah.
That was
how do
like
you
the
rate
money.
The, I guess, how do you rate... Well, I suppose that's for the end of the show. Yeah. It's like, how do you rate Final Destination 2 against those?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some... So we have to, again, tie this back to the first movie. Mm-hmm. And since there's only one surviving cast member from the first movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Devin
Clear
Sawa
rivers.
Was in.
They kill
them.
Him on a website page in this movie.
Yes. In this movie.
Yeah, in this movie.
Yes, they kill him in this movie. A brick falls on his head.
Which is like, you couldn't come up with anything better for how crazy these movies are. We're supposed to believe after all that, a brick took that man out. Like,
right. Maybe they're just like, well, fuck you, Devin Sawa, for not doing our movie.
Yeah.
We're going to kill you with a brick off screen.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
I don't think so. I don't feel any animosity, but he does just die from a brick off screen.
But why isn't he back for this?
It said there was contract negotiations and they just started filming before his contract worked out. So then they just said, fine.
Just like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
And he's back now in the Chucky TV show, right? Or he was for a little while. But who do we get back?
Clear Rivers.
That's a name.
Clear.
Yeah.
It's not Claire. Clear.
Yeah, if you didn't know it was Clear from the first one where you thought it was Claire.
Yeah.
It
it's Clear Rivers.
It's clarified this is, in this one.
Allie Larder reprising her role. So basically, she gets to be like a...
she's the expert that will guide you through.
Yeah.
Okay. So it becomes like, well, she's in a mental hospital.
When we voluntarily, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. so that nothing will happen to her.
And mm-hmm. she's got the red string board, which yep. I did appreciate, because yep. you know, we love this, red yes. string boards. Although, Sean, I don't think you've actually built your red string board yet. There was much talk at some point, right? Wasn't yep. Sean going to be?
Yeah, you were going to build one. Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Just for it to have it.
Yeah.
So when people would come over to your house, yeah. they go like, what are you working on?
But you need
like,
a subject.
Take your files and build one on yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, out of your right,
files.
All right. I am
files and
up.
Red string board go right. good together.
Holly made me a file. I do yeah. need to yep. come up with a red string
yeah,
board. I need a good subject for it, though.
But yeah. that's, you got to build that thing out like almost like in 3D. You have to take yeah. the manila folder that holds the file and like yeah. put that up there in addition to
I will make yeah. a manila folder red string pop-up.
There, yeah.
yeah, there we go. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so satisfying.
I can guide you all through.
Yeah.
Is there like a BuzzFeed list out there that's like the 30 best red string boards in movies? Because I want to see like a power ranking of the best ones in movies.
Right? We've made enough listicles in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
got to be one of them. Yeah.
Is that what they're called? I hope so.
That's what I call
the red string evidence board or something.
If you say it, people will know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay,
just set next to a picture of Charlie Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did he have a good one?
A big one, yeah. Okay. And it's always sunny. It's a very meme. Famous
like,
meme,
you
yeah.
You talk about it and you post something online, it's Charlie Day going.
Where's Pepe Silvia? Yeah, that was an episode from like 2006. That is an old,
hey, if it works.
Old meme, yeah.
Well, they have to, I guess you don't have to spring clear from the psych ward. She can just check herself out. Mm-hmm. She's resistant at first.
I don't blame her. As what is she doing wrong here? Nothing.
If you went through everything you went through in the first movie, I understand what she's doing.
She's keeping herself safe. She's
She's like, it'll always come back around and get you.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually she does accept the challenge. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure exactly because she's so hostile.
Yes.
To this new girl coming in and going like, I'm going through the exact same thing that you guys went through last year.
She's like, that sucks. Yeah. Go away.
Everyone's really adversarial with each other for no reason.
They really are.
Is this just like, is this the time where like characters are kind of like bitter and cynical like this towards each other? Was this like a trend of this time or something?
I
wonder, like snarky
feels like
you know.
This is pre-Reddit snark.
Yeah.
Right?
It continued for a while because, again, we've complained many times on here about characters that you just don't
Right.
It's like, the era. I guess and that it colors the movies of like the 2000s.
Yes.
It's just, everybody is so antagonistic.
Yep. And you wonder, like, what is the thinking? Did they not spend enough time on these characters because they knew they were just there to die? Like, you always wonder the thinking behind writers and directors creating characters and how much they put into them and why just are they all assholes?
It's almost like they think because it's a horror movie there needs to be conflict happening 24/7 between like whether if
to
it,
keep you on
if,
edge
yeah
for some
exactly
reason,
if kills aren't happening then people need to be arguing you know or just antagonizing
maybe,
each other
or they're just spending more time on death scenes and what have you or they're just like you get the basic beats and let's move on to the kill scene.
I mean I've always wondered if it was you know the criticism in the 80s was that you have these characters that they're going to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then are you making them assholes, basically, so you know, you, the audience, don't feel bad. You're like, that fucker got his,
know,
which is kind of sick, you know, I guess when you think about it. But it absolves you, or absolves them from killing people in the movie, I guess.
It does lessen a little bit. If everyone's an asshole, you don't quite care, and you get away with more, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because if there's an emotional, a big emotional impact, I don't know, somebody may say, like, let's bring that back a bit, just because we care about these
characters. It's like,
if they're assholes, like we can go full forward and burn them in a fucking car.
Because, you know, this movie's obviously calibrated for entertainment value.
Yes.
So, we have several big murder set pieces. The first one is
lottery guy, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand why the log scene is so iconic from this movie, but so many more insane things get missed because people only talk about the log scene. This being one of those scenes. The way this goes about, like, this guy won the lottery, so he buys himself an iMac computer, a watch, a ugly ring. He's got people calling him constantly, leaving messages, wanting to...
Just like, I heard you won the lottery. Let's hook up.
Yeah. He goes to make himself some mozzarella sticks frying them in a bunch of oil, spills the oil all over the oven, but takes his shirt off to do this, which is, I have questions. Why?
Which is the first thing you want to do when you're about to cook something in oil.
Yeah, is take your shirt off. Exactly. And he has a nipple ring. Important for later.
It is important for later. Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. There's a payoff to that.
Oh, that should have been a, like, he's backing away from a fire, gets it caught on something.
Yes. Yeah. He has spaghetti in a pan and throws it out the window.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember all the little pieces.
There's a fridge magnet, letters, that one of them dislodges and falls off.
It says, hey, E, but when the H falls off, it just says, I.
Yeah. Yep, and that falls into his Chinese food, which he's going to reheat in the microwave.
Right.
Of course, as we
I don't know if you've ever put a microwave in a, or a magnet in the microwave. Don't.
Yep. Yeah. They don't get along. Yep.
We'll add that to the conversation of us electrocuting things.
Yes.
We had a few weeks ago. Yes. Also, don't do this.
Yeah.
And somehow he ends up dropping the ring into the dish disposal, and we're like, oh, man.
Yep.
And he's just put on a nice new watch, diamonds inlay, and so he reaches in there to get it, and it gets
with his watch hand, his brand new watch hand. Like, I'm so, my hand's never going near a garbage disposal. I don't care if there's not electricity running to the house.
I have reached in.
Oh, God, Colin, why?
Multiple times. Because eventually you get something stuck down there, and you gotta like get reaching, like, but come on.
Isn't that what like a snake or a gopher grabber is for? Anything
you need to go by.
Just replace
feel.
The sink.
Anything.
Undo the pipes.
Yes. Seriously.
So I'm asking for it. You're saying? I mean, I'm like, you're not gonna touch the. Yeah. Okay. I'm a Final Destination candidate waiting to happen.
You're at least gonna lose a hand.
Yeah.
At some point. I'm sorry.
But this gets out of control extremely fast because now he's got his hand stuck in the garbage disposal.
Yes.
What else is happening in the apartment?
The microwave is sparking because of the magnet, which causes fire to light on the oil that's all over the stove. So the mozzarella sticks are really taking him down.
And also, he's an idiot, so he decides to try and, as he's stuck in the sink, put out the flames by smacking the pan, which knocks it over.
Yep.
Right. Well, he's trying to create wind, I guess, with the rag.
Yeah.
And then it falls onto the floor.
Yes.
He's got garbage all over the floor.
Yeah.
And lights.
He lives in squalor.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. Lottery winner. It's it's all his winnings are just scattered all over the hallway.
The brand new iMac catches on fire. And never even got taken out of the box.
The fire is so hot that it melts the fire alarm.
Did you like seeing it switch off? I thought that was a nice touch. He literally hear the power drain and see the light go out. Yep. So you know, death is like, nope, not today.
Yeah,
pulling the wires out of this. And then, it melts.
Yep.
So there's really no hope. And then he goes for the windows.
Because he gets
free. How does he get free? Does he just anchor?
It just comes free because that's how this movie happens.
Yeah. And then he goes for the windows that are open and they slam down, slam down.
A better movie would have, again, if these were actual characters and not caricatures, a better movie would have this guy going, what the fuck is going on when those windows slam? It's like, all right, something more is happening here. There's no what would feel, and again, I know this is a horror movie where weird things are happening, people die, but there doesn't feel like a genuine, real human reaction to any events that are happening in this movie.
These aren't people
at
all.
And you can have fun with that, but that is a thing that happens.
I think the fifth movie does that better. Yeah, those people definitely react.
They feel,
Okay.
But even I think like the lead in this, at some point she's like, I'm going to die. I know that I'm going to die, and I'm so terrified.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was the delivery. Yeah.
that is as much terror as we feel from any of these people. No, the black guy who's like, I control my life. He was the most terrified person in this movie. Although I don't understand what he does in that moment because it's just like, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean?
Well, we eventually. What is our first one? Because the.
So after lottery guy,
dies,
so he goes down the fire escape and then does the spaghetti play a part in this?
Yeah, because
he gets off the ladder.
He trips,
he's like, oh, that was close. He slips on the spaghetti that he just threw out the window.
Yep.
The ladder does a fake out where it feels like it's going to fall down and then it falls into his face and impales him and kills him.
Really bad CGI, but really bad.
Yep.
Like, right, I feel like even for 2002, it was bad. You know,
That's why I cut away from it real quick.
Yeah,
like, we're gonna get out of here.
But so don't throw spaghetti out your window.
Yep.
It will kill you.
Yeah,
it was the moral of the story here.
Yes.
Then we get into like the cop shows up at Kimberly's house. Mm-hmm. They start talking like they all talk like they like they're all know each other now.
Yeah, they are like a support group for each other now.
Real quick though, because they've only met at the police station once at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're all, I mean, he's got all their phone numbers. They all.
I think it's after the first guy dies and they're like, oh shit, that's right. That crazy lady was telling us that this happened with Flight 180.
Right.
That it eventually all the people who survived die.
Right.
And now one of the guys who survived dies. What's going to happen to us?
And so they have a re-meeting where they all meet at somebody's apartment.
As you do.
Oh no! Before that is even the kid dies at the dentist. That
okay.
Before
this is probably I think the best scene because in this whole fucking movie. It's so crazy.
A premonition of pigeons in a window.
Yep, that's really important. Like really important. So this kid who might be 12, might be 16, depends on the scene and what they need him to do.
Yeah.
Because his mom treats him like he's much younger than she appears to be.
What was that? To his room? Like a glass of water?
Yeah.
And like, okay, lights out, hun.
Warm milk.
Yeah. Like, isn't this kid like 16 years old? Like,
and his bedroom looked pretty juvenile for a 16-year-old, too.
He had the periodic table.
Oh, yeah. But she's momming him real hard.
Yeah.
She lost her husband, and he's the only thing he's got. And she's the only thing he's got. So there's that pre-Bates Motel relationship going on here.
Yep. So he has to go to the dentist, which isn't a high rise. And
a massive construction project happening right outside the window.
Yes, including cranes carrying very big glass plate windows, like huge.
They have to keep replacing them because the pigeons keep flying into them.
Yes.
Some beefy-ass pigeons.
So the kid goes, did you catch this line about, like, if I wake up with my pants unzipped, we're going to sue?
Yeah.
What
was
that?
I don't know.
The Seinfeld episode?
There was something in the news about
a dentist
who molested somebody.
It was
like
just
people
a weird
waking
thing.
Up and their buttons are undone.
It was weird to put in this movie.
So it was in the ether.
Yeah. Okay, as we get into the dentist's office, we see a fish tank. And this tiny little fish gets stuck on the filter.
I feel so bad for this fish. I don't know why.
This is where they get really granular with how this stuff starts, though, right?
Now we're getting complex.
Yeah, like...
just for the
hell of it. Last time it was spaghetti out the window. Now it's a fish getting stuck on a filter can take you
out.
Right.
Like, and I feel like this is... I feel like they're showing off at this point.
I love it, yeah.
We haven't gotten to the point where it's just like, okay, this seems a bit much. Because we are only the second movie into this whole thing. So they're like, all right,
they're showing
now
off.
It's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the fish gets stuck on the filter, which causes the filter to come loose from the fish tank, which sprays up against the wall, which drips down into the outlet the fish tank is plugged into.
Which has, I might add, the plug is slightly pulled out.
Always plugging
all my MO for electric. I was kind of like, oh, I know what that is.
Yep.
And it is pouring into that socket.
Yep. And as the water is pouring into the socket, it's also pooling and spreading across the office, close to the mom's foot.
Yep.
The dentist is about to look at this kid's teeth and do something with the cavity, and a pigeon hits the window with so much force it causes like spider cracks across the whole window. Yes, exactly.
Window.
Yeah. We all have seen birds hit windows, right? They die and they don't leave a crack. Like at least anytime a bird's hit my window, they bounce off
there
and
is,
die.
And
like,
I only know this from working in news. There's a rehab facility for birds that fly into windows in Chicago.
Really?
There's one here.
Oh, is there one here as well? Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
It's such a big thing where they have to go collect them either because they're dead or because they are injured and they have to nurse them.
Right. But none of those birds have broken a window, I would guarantee, right? It would take like a hawk or something big to break a window, right?
No, it would take like
a goose could do it.
I mean, those are,
it would take somebody holding a pigeon in their hand, taking a foot from the window and chucking it in.
Your home window at whatever floor this
is. No, this is a high-rise window.
Right, exactly.
Like, not breakable mostly.
So it causes him to jump, and he's like, okay, do you just want the nitrous gas? Which, like, wow, this dentist is just ready to take shortcuts at any time. Concerning for this kind of professional. So he's putting the kid down for nitrous, and a second pigeon hits the window and causes another equally as big crack. Yeah. And it's like, okay, what is happening that is making
the
these birds?
The birds? Yeah, what's happening?
Like, if you're a person not aware of the final destination and that's happening, like, if you're that destined, what do you think is going on with these birds that they are like crashing into the window?
He shrugs it off. Like, there's damn birds, I'm going to have to replace another window.
So this happens all the time?
So death, like 6 months prior, was like, all right, I got to set this up so nobody thinks this is weird.
Right.
6 months earlier,
you
death was chucking
so
pigeons into the window.
Yeah,
right.
The window is not like a reflective or put a covering coating on it or something.
yes. So
but this is also, it seems to be a dentist's office for little children?
Yes.
Because there was a mobile.
How old is this
boy? Again, yeah, we don't know how old this boy is. Yes. He's like he's 16, but he's
always in these kid situations. But there's a fish mobile above him.
Yes.
Running around. And out of nowhere, one of them breaks off, and a very stringy plastic fish drops into this kid's mouth.
While it's being held open for the procedure, and the oxygen shut off, and he's full nitrous now.
Full nitrous, so he's goofy.
So you could kill him right here.
Yeah.
But no, the nurse comes in.
Something better for this child.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, he's been rescued. She pulls the thing out of his mouth. He takes a breath. He can breathe again. Mm-hmm. And him and his mom are like, well, we're not going back there again. They don't say that.
Well, but meanwhile, pigeons have broke through the glass and are running in the lobby now.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yes. Mom's trying to catch the... Yes. Yeah, but it's too slippery because of the water.
Yep. Yeah, and the waters, there's like arcing sparks in the water, which nothing happens with that, dude. No. Yeah, so that's a good misdirect.
She gets up and moves away as it arcs at her.
Yeah.
Like it almost got her.
Yeah, it's a good misdirect.
I'm surprised the electricity was on a little hand.
So then you go, what was the point of this entire scene if it didn't actually pay off?
Throw you off the scent, Colin.
No, pigeons. The point is still the pigeons.
Right, because they will always, whatever you think, because she'll get the premonition of it, whatever you think it is, it'll be there.
Right.
But it won't be like...
It's not exactly what you think.
That'll
it's not as literal.
The same thing.
Yes.
Then I have a question because remind me. In the first one, did Devon Sawa continue to have premonitions?
Not like her.
I thought he just
had the one, and then after that, it was
It was
end. Doesn't he have a few at the end of that movie?
No, he has the one actual premonition where we see other things. For the rest of the movie, he gets the feeling. We see the shadow. We hear the breeze.
Yeah.
There's a little something
in the
atmosphere.
I like that better.
That's better. Yeah, there's a little something in the atmosphere that is going
wrong.
It just
everything feels like, ooh, shit, something's going to happen.
So it's represented that way. No other visions. That starts
but
happening.
In this one, our hero keeps on having new premonitions and then trying to figure it out. What am I seeing here? Mm-hmm. It, kind of like Lucio Fulci's The Psychic. Remember that one?
No, or, I haven't seen that. Now I'm intrigued.
It's not a bad movie. All okay, right. I don't want to give it away. Okay, so, but then...
Okay, so they leave the dentist office, and you're like, they dodged death like 8 times in there. What's going to happen?
Yeah, that seems like they should be acting a little crazier for everything that just happened. Mom, I almost just died.
Right.
I fell in my mouth.
Well, you threatened to sue if your pants were going to be unzipped. You're definitely going to sue after this, right? That's what they, I almost choked to death, and you gave me way too much nitrous. I'm definitely suing.
Yep.
They're coming down to the sidewalk where all the construction's happening. There's tons of pigeons on the sidewalk. And AJ Cook and the other guy are running up on the opposite side of the pigeons. So there's massive pigeons between them.
And what are they shouting?
Pigeons! But no other context.
No,
so the kid starts chasing these pigeons, and he looks like a 5-year-old when he's chasing these pigeons. This is like the way he's doing
it.
It's very awkward.
Which it always stuck with me the way he does it. He's like skirting up towards them. He's like, this kid is, he might be special.
And a cable snaps, and a big plate glass window comes down and folds this kid up like an accordion.
it does.
Is Looney Tunes style.
Gnarly. It's very good.
Oh my god. Why do people not remember the pigeon smooshing scene?
Does this all go back to the Omen? Right? Didn't maybe, the Omen kill people like the devil?
That's true.
The weather vane and
kind of fell.
That's true.
Anybody who's going to get in the way is just like you're gone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a sidebar.
That's a good thought.
It's an element that. Maybe it has kind of always been present in there, but like the Final Destination series like zeroed in on it. We're going to make it especially about this.
And it's not necessarily demonic. Like I said, in this one, it's just you can't escape. Outrun death.
Right.
So the survivor group eventually starts being whittled away one by one. It becomes very frantic toward the ending as they, okay, so this is where I think the mythology expands because they have to make they have to make a return because Ollie Larder remembers having visited the mortician in the first movie. So she's like, we're going to go back and talk to him. It is a reason to have a character from the first movie reappear again and establish some kind of continuity, but it makes no sense at all. Right?
Right.
Not particularly, no.
That they go to his cavernous medieval basement in the mortuary, and he just happens to be, like, very casually, like, about to, this is where the nipple ring comes back into play, burn the lottery winner, his body. and has to pull the nipple ring off.
In a close-up where it stretches in a
it's
really
a real nipple ring.
That is the real nipple.
And then I like the way they did it, because when he actually just pulls it off, it's in a shot of him. And he you know, and you're like, oh, Jesus.
But the way they talk to him in this, it always feels like in this movie that everyone had a conversation in the car ride over there that we didn't get to see.
Yep.
And now when they arrive at the situation, they're all talking like everybody knows everything that's going on.
Including the person they're talking to. Because he's like, Claire, I expected you. You know? Because he, again, still does seem to have foreknowledge. She seems to think that he's an expert on this stuff. There is an implication, because I think that toward the end of the scene, he knows Kimberly's name, and she's like, how did you know my name? And he just kind of turns and like, of course, you know why I know her name, but she doesn't.
And she's really freaked out about it, but it's just like, at this point, why is that the thing that
is he death? Is he death personified again?
I have not seen 4 or 5. I always think he is.
Not
he
is. In 3, he has like such a smaller role. 4, I don't remember. Yeah. 5 is... different.
In a way
that I think is good, but
I know,
I liked what they did.
He's good,
because finally they changed up the formula. No, he doesn't, he's not the problem, but he plants, I guess, the idea that
plants the idea with a fucking backhoe. Does he plant this?
He just
does he dig that hole and put a fucking seed in there? Nothing is subtle whatsoever.
No.
And again, like I said before, whatever these characters say is exactly what it is.
So in order to beat death, right, because there's a balance, you have to create a new life. Because if you do that, that would throw off death's a life that wasn't supposed to exist, because you know the mother was supposed to be dead.
Right.
And we all go, oh fuck yeah, that's right. I remember there was a pregnant lady involved in the opening crash. Mm-hmm. Although astute viewers, I am not one of you, should realize that you didn't actually see the pregnant woman.
Right. No one ever no one makes that connection.
Right.
No. You remember seeing her and you figure that she got blown up, but it turns out that she didn't. So we're off on a goose chase for a good portion of the movie, trying to make sure that this woman makes it to the delivery room on time.
We got to make sure this woman gives birth.
Yes.
And it will save us all.
And there's several more deaths. The cocaine guy, what happened to him?
Well, hold on. Lady with the hook, or man with the hooks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah,
because a premonition that a man. Oh, well, they see. Stoner cocaine guy.
Look for the signs.
Yes,
because that'll help you.
Yeah, cocaine guy sees a shadow that looks like a guy with hooks.
Are we all seeing this?
Yeah, are we all?
It was great.
And I love that they choose to take what could be a very normal circumstance, like an elevator killing someone, and just make it that much weirder by adding a guy holding a basket of hooks. Like, why not? You know,
like prosthetic limbs.
Yes,
with hook.
You but know, like hook a metal shopping basket, just stuffed with them.
Because it was like, all right, lady's gonna lose her head in the elevator. Mm-hmm. How do we get there?
Yes.
Yeah.
And somehow they got to man with a box of hooks.
Yes.
And I want to know where they went before, where they went, where they got to that idea. And we're like, all right, we'll save that one. We'll come back to it in case we don't think anything else. I want to know everything they thought of before they got to there.
I mean, that is the fascination with, I mean, I suppose, you know, the writing process on these movies. This is the,
what didn't make it?
This is the mother of the kid who died at the dentist's outside the dentist's office. So she ends up losing her head in the elevator.
Yes. A man with a hook is going to try and kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there's the cyclist, right? Well, there's a whole thing that takes place. They're trying to meet the van that's taking the woman who's pregnant to the delivery room. Mm-hmm. And they go off the road.
Right, because they have to try and find her. He's a cop. He's like, we'll put on an APB for her. We'll arrest her. We'll bring her in. They find her.
Yeah, she's going into labor over at Dollar General. Right.
They do take her into custody. He tells them that. They're going to like meet her at the jail, but they don't know that she went into labor while she was in the jail, and then she's being rushed to the hospital in a white van.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which another premonition has said that a white van drives into a river and someone dies. And so we have like two cars going the opposite ways or on a highway set to meet in explosive on Heilmarker 180.
This one, more tie-in. And there's another character introduced here, this kid who tries to, because the cars eventually I don't even remember what inspired it, but
there's a flat tire.
There's a flat tire. They spin out. They both end up in the ditch. The pregnant lady goes to the hospital still with her police officer.
Yep.
And then there's a kid.
We lose a bunch of characters at this point.
Yeah. But that and the introduction of that other kid who's going to come in the finale. Like,
there's a kid working
pre-credit
in the field on the farm. He tries to help certain people. He almost gets hit by
a news van.
I'm
not even sure how this ties into the end of it. Yeah. There's a big.
It's just to say that just because we're following this line of death and taking people, there are other lines that are also happening.
There's another important scene in the mythology building of this movie, right? Where they're all sitting in the car together and they realize that each one of them has cheated death before.
Right.
Right. And so you're like, okay, this is how this whole thing constructs itself.
Right.
Is each one of them had tickets to go to Paris and didn't go. And because of
what
that, someone
before,
else
Colin?
Died. Well, it turns out that one of the characters from the original movie was supposed to go there and you took, or whatever, they
the
took your place.
The ending was in Paris.
Yes.
It's
right.
Like, and I was going to go to a concert, but they called it off because some dude just got randomly hit by a sign. It's like, oh,
that was from the guy from the first movie. I mean, it's a big callback to the first movie, yes. But basically it sounds like what they're doing is saying that the first movie created a ripple effect, a butterfly effect, if you will, and that now all of the people in this movie are directly related are victims or chosen victims because of
the events of the first movie.
Yeah.
They even say, like, we'd all be dead if not for the events of the first movie.
Right.
Like, it fucked up death's design that much.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very sequelitis. I mean, like, everything
you are correct.
Ties to that first movie, like, so hard.
So hard. Yeah. And I think that's the problem I have with it, because they're trying so hard to connect every single thing back to that first movie.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. And it does not get any, on rewatch, it's not any better.
No, that's why I think, like, once they kind of liberated themselves from that in the third one, I think, right, that they became more fun.
Yeah.
And you didn't kind of feel that, like, weight of like
right,
we
that
guys
just
try
happening
back
to people, not necessarily the connection to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again,
a lot of deaths during this one, because again, they have the accident, their van spins out, they end up, they crash into a bunch of pipes that are coming through the thing.
Yep.
The biker guy gets injured, he collapsed lung because everyone in this group is a fucking medic. And
right.
Knows collapse. Like, Allie Lauder is a medic. She's like, or AJ Cook is like, he's got a collapsed lung, I think. Like, everyone's making medical diagnoses.
Right.
He gets like,
for no reason.
Oh, no. The yeah.
Biker guy gets injured. The business lady, she was driving the whole time.
So that's a good one.
Yeah.
She's stuck in the front seat because a log has gone through the thing and has trapped her in there. And there's a big sharp pipe behind her head.
It impales the back of the car. And you're like, it didn't miss your head.
Yep. Right.
But then when they're trying to rescue her with the jawsalette, they trigger the airbag and it slams her into it. It's great.
Died. It's great because it's so unexpected.
Yep.
Just like, oh, after the big event, then she dies.
Right.
So she gets knocked off there. Rory has a human moment with AJ Cook. He's like, hey, you're going to die after me, right? Can you do me a favor? And he gives her his wallet and his keys and everything.
Oh, like, Rory's the cocaine. The guy
Rory's
who's like
cocaine.
The Trans Am cocaine. Yeah. You remember how he dies, though?
Well, yeah.
In the field, like
oh yes, okay, because they kind of do this in the fourth one too. But the explosion shoots the like barbed wire fence at him, but like the two
fence.
Posts are like still attached. Like the barbed wire doesn't come off the post; it's like a whole chunk of
Does
fence.
Does it get garroted?
It slices him in thirds.
Yes.
And then the third fall
over. Midsection, legs, and an arm gets lost in there as well. It's one of my favorite deaths from any of this because it's just fun.
It happens so quick, too.
It does.
Because they always have the intestines like just kind of out of there.
Kind of intestines.
And the guy gets...
So he's gone. She's gone. All we have left is the cop, AJ Cook, and Allie Larder.
And the biker.
Biker's going
to
the hospital.
He's in the hospital.
Yeah, he's going to the hospital.
And that's another scene where, like, the supernatural seems to be directly involved because...
Oh, yeah, big time.
There's a gas leak that the Goldberg
machine. The vents
machine.
Shut. We see the vents in the room shut. We see gas valves turn and things kind of unplug, so the room's filling with, pure oxygen, right?
Yeah. We get real close to, like...
And it's also, wires, like, strangling him.
Wires doing their own thing.
Right.
Like, there's a line. fine.
Even because his bed is moving on its own and making all the wires tighten
up. Oxygen machine is moving away from him and slowly pulling out wires and even tubes from his face and everything.
And like literally the plug on him is like loose, coming loose. Like they're gonna pull, it's going to pull the plug on him literally. Yeah.
But I think at the same time, this woman gives birth.
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh my God, she gave birth. Do you know what that means? That means we've changed the timeline and everything's good now. And they're all like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. they are.
And we're like, movie over. Cool.
And then, dun, 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 new premonition. Yes.
What is her premonition at that point? Oh, it's still like, she's still seeing like the drowning, the doctor strangling her.
Because as they're driving to the hospital after everyone died in the field and everything, she gets another premonition where she sees Dr. Kalarjan. She sees someone with bloody hands driving into a lake. She sees a bunch of stuff still that we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we they eventually get to the hospital. Again, she gives birth, so we think, oh, everything's good from there. And then she's hit with another premonition.
It's not over yet.
The pregnant lady did not die in the initial crash.
That's where it came. And it was like, oh shit, this is still going on. And then poor Allie Larder goes to see the biker.
Yeah.
But the room's full of oxygen and it explodes.
Yep. There's a spark and a plug. It explodes. Yep.
And boom. And she's killed. And that was, I guess, supposed to be surprising. It was.
Yep.
But it wasn't really treated with any kind of like, oh, okay. So she's out of the
movie. No reverence for the character that survived that entire movie and was trying to not die.
Right.
It's like, okay, we're done with her.
it really is. She goes flying into the screen.
And then Kimberly is like, you know what? I figured it out. This is how we do it.
I have to die.
Yeah, but if I sacrifice myself, it'll interrupt somewhere else, or I'm like,
I kind of hate this.
It doesn't make any sense because they want you. It wants you to die anyway,
right? And it's not. And her plan as everything's coming together for her, she sees the ambulance drive up. She sees the lake. She figures out what she has to do. The cop is still with her.
Well, she realizes that her premonition has been of her own death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that, you know, is interesting about, that's where her premonitions are coming from. She's seeing her own death and doesn't recognize it.
Right. She does recognize it eventually, and it seems like she comes up with the plan because we're still thinking new life will eradicate death's design and what have you. Mm-hmm. So it feels like she gets the idea as like, oh, I'll drive into the lake and then you can bring me back to life.
Before
she does it. Yes, because she says to the cop, get Kalarjan. Get the doctor.
Oh, get the doctor.
So she's got it in her head, but she's also not explaining this to anybody else.
Right.
Because I didn't. I missed that.
Right. She's hoping on sheer luck. They don't explain it because they don't want the
But she's foreseen it, so she knows that that's the person who brings her back to life.
Right, right, right. Yeah. They don't want the audience to know anything, so they give very limited information, even though she should be telling the cop everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do this, bring me back to life and everything.
So that's how they beat it, because she does die, but she's resuscitated, and so then that breaks the curse, right? And apparently then saves the cop, because she went out on her time and ahead of her time. She was supposed to die last and saves the cop.
Yeah,
and
but if she was doing that ahead of her time, wouldn't a death have stopped it from happening? Or is, because it happens with other people. They try and kill themselves before
the guy tries to shoot himself with the gun.
Six blanks.
But it turns out the gun's loaded.
Right.
Right.
But
then didn't go off, so death made the gun, not fire.
Right, because it wasn't his time. But is it because she's the one having the premonitions that she gets a pass in this
again?
This
sets up an unexplored and potentially interesting, like, where does all this come from?
We don't get there in this movie, but
sequels, and they still haven't done it, as far as I can remember. But then there's a capper where we're at a picnic.
Well, they bring her back to life. They do end up bringing her back to life, I think. And they decide they're good from there. I don't remember what happens when she just comes back to life and they're all like, we're good.
It. Yeah.
How would they know?
Right.
Because it's a new life that they were.
But how did they know that what that means,
Colin?
She had
that in her, because she like, at some point there was like, there was the realization to her that like new life means.
But they have so many realizations that are so wrong in the rest of the movie. Why is this the one that's correct?
Because it was written that way.
And that is the correct answer, Colin. Just shrug your shoulders and be like, I don't know. That's the correct answer. Yeah. Thank you. But again, they are saved.
And the tacked on ending, it feels tacked on. It's just, you know, you got to have something to go out
have
on.
A little
but
jab.
I didn't quite understand it because I guess I didn't remember the sequence of events. But they're at like a...
Well, because the kid in, when they have the accident in the field,
Right?
Rory, cocaine guy, the kid who, what's her name, calls Jethro at some point. The kid who's working in the field, the farmer, almost gets run over and killed by the news van. Rory, the cocaine guy, pulls him out of the way, saves his life. Okay. So there's that death design that's also working.
So if Rory was dead in the traffic crash, he wouldn't have been able to save the farmer kid.
Yes. Right.
And so that puts the farmer kid on the death list.
Right, right. He should be dead.
But how much longer is this scene after the events of the movie is what I want to know.
A year.
So he was dodging.
At least a summer.
Yeah.
Because they ask her like how her life is turning out.
And I'm guessing this was early spring just based on weather and coldness we were talking about in the movie.
So he's dodging death for the whole summer.
Yep.
I think there's got to be a realization before it can happen. Like death wants you to know just before it's going to happen.
Yeah.
At least that's the fun I'm having with this moment. And then he's at the grill. Honey, you better go check the grill. That, those burgers are going to overcook. And they tell the story of the kid being saved in the field. And then so AJ Cook and the cop are looking at each other like,
oh, no. Yeah.
And then there's that slow look over to the grill. And a mannequin that has been standing at this grill blows to bits.
Yeah.
In a great explosion.
Yes.
Because it's more the body exploding than flame around him. It's real good.
Yeah.
And so the mom screams her head off. The kid's arm lands in front of her on her plate, which is how you want a fucking movie like this to end. Good for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Black.
And then you go to credits. Yeah. I mean, it was... I guess it's delivering what you want. There was a scene early on that had me philosophizing. I think it was Rory was asking her, it's like, well, you know, asking Kimberly, like, well, because you're so
this is the you're gonna die after me scene. This is the most human I think this is the most human moment of this movie, even if it is
he tells her to, like, here's my wallet and all this other stuff, if I die, you know, you go to my apartment and get rid of all my drugs and my porn and everything, anything that would embarrass me in front of my mom.
He says anything that would break my mom's heart, which is a line I've always remembered, because I'm just like, oh shit, alright, a human, there's a human in this movie. That's weird.
I know,
and that's why it stands out so much.
But he also says, like, when I die, is it gonna hurt? And she shrugs, she's like, I don't know, but I mean, ultimately, when you die, you're not gonna remember it. And then ultimately you're not going to remember any of this that we're having right now.
This is fucking depressing.
Okay.
Yep.
So Final Destination 2. All right. So now we're going to go around the table and tell you whether or not we would recommend that you watch this movie. But first of all, we're going to answer some of your mail.
And for that, we go to a man who's been through many of these situations before. And has come back every single time in slightly different formations.
Yes.
Well, Igor, bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Thank you, Igor.
He's got Cocaine Dude's arm. That is Cocaine Dude's arm.
He's got the little pool ball keychain from Motorcycle Guy,
too. That was a good keepsake. Yep. He uses it as an earring now.
It's a good look.
It is a good look. I'm glad you busted it out for this. Yeah. Thank you, Igor.
Well, we should let the good folks at home now know how they can follow along on this part, our interactive portion of our show, by following along on Facebook.
Facebook.com/SatFreakShow.
Or X.
At SatFreakShow.
Or you can email us directly at
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
The hand movements threw me off, Colin. Yeah. You actually went X.
Yeah, with the hand.
Yeah.
Or you can follow along on Instagram or... You remember Threads?
Do you?
I never threaded.
Still never jumped on. Nope. They keep every now and again they post a little blurb.
Yeah. Yes, where you they just, try to get me.
They try and it's like, oh, you want to read the end of this one? Hit more, and they're just like, sign up for Threads. I'm like, ah.
I get notifications that so and so, who you know from Facebook, has now joined. Some people are still getting
on. And I just want to be like, I didn't find them that interesting on Facebook. I'm not following them to Threads.
But guess what? When you come to Threads, we're there at Saturday night.
So you should do it. We may not, but you should do it.
MF Med, the keeper of the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame.
Thank you, sir.
He wants us to know that we're inducting two actors from this movie to the Saturday Night Freak Show.
I hope it's AJ Cook.
Wall of Fame. It is not. Uh-huh. It is David Paiktow.
Okay.
Paiktow. I'm going to go with, you will recognize him from this movie. He played Evan Lewis.
The lottery winner?
Okay. Gotcha.
What else was he in?
He was also in Disturbing Behavior.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Oh, was he the guy who went, why not?
No, I don't
Maybe.
Think so.
He was Tom Damn. Cox.
Nope.
Is he the guy who owned the Mustang that got destroyed? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
And he was also a Northcom threat analyst in Man of Steel, which we also did on an epic 3.5 hour episode.
Where at least two people walked out and the rest couldn't continue.
Yeah.
Benita Ha is also in this movie. She was the dental mom? Receptionist.
Okay.
Okay.
And she's been added to the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame because she was also, you'll remember, she was Kim Wheeler in Valentine.
Oh, okay.
And she was also a forensics technician in Catwoman.
Oh wow, Catwoman. Jesus. Okay. Yes.
Well, she's just
Colin looked at me when he said that.
Oh yeah. We all showed daggers, right? Yeah.
I regret nothing.
Okay, so
he said it in a way that said that's your
it
fault.
It was accusatory, yes. Yeah.
But you put her on the wall, so there you go. Okay, so
that
about
space could have been for somebody important.
It's in the hallway. It's fine.
Oh, that's right, both of those are relegated to the hallway of fame. About tonight's movie, Final Destination 2. CJ Lewis writes in and says, I admit I enjoyed Final Destination 2 because A, by this point, the series still had a plot, silly as it was, and B, to the best of my knowledge, it's the only movie that has permanently scarred me. As to this day, I refuse to drive behind a log truck, highway or not. As always, I love the Freak Show. You guys always manage to keep my spirits up during the tough times, so thank you for all you do, guys.
Oh, thank you, CJ Lewis. Yeah. And our point proven, a generation is scarred.
Yes. Yep. And it's not even just logs. It's like any debris, I feel like, isn't strapped down well enough. Anything, you know?
I drove by a truck that had just rebar.
Oh, that's worse.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah. And you go, that's a Final Destination moment.
I'm like, that's worse.
Yeah. Because it's just going to go right through you.
No. Yeah. And that's a cover for one of the other movies, like the fifth one, where it's just rebar going through a skull.
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh. Mike Miller says, I love this series and I love this movie. It's probably my favorite of the five. My only gripe is that several of the characters being unlikable assholes or idiots, a complaint I have with a lot of horror from the 2000s.
Yeah. Yes.
Why does half the target group have to be assholes? That aside, the deaths are pretty fun and I appreciate how they linked it back to the original. Oh, he pre-appreciated
There's my
it.
Review.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's not just us with them being assholes.
It is
good to
hear this. Yes. Thank you.
Jacob Laws says the movie was full of great kills. Yes, the premonition sequence was top-notch, but I think the death of the son by the falling glass panel was messed up since he was completely smashed.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, as Sean pointed out, there's a body bag we see in the background. It's like, what are you putting into that? Get a dustpan and sweep this kid up.
On the ground, and the mom's like, oh, no, my son.
You're not going to need a body bag. You're going to need a bucket.
Put him in a bucket. Yeah. Like, you got to vacuum that dude up.
Get a shot back.
The liquid and the solid.
Joey Blythe writes in and says, I live by a train track, as made famous by Final Destination, and I pass logging trucks almost daily, like Final Destination 2, and I can't not think of these movies when I see one or the other.
Move.
You daily, that's so frequently. Oh my God.
Unless you're just like, I'm living in the danger zone, man. If I say it out loud, it won't happen to me. If I live in that area, I'll be fine.
Michael Whitaker says, you know, the only real fault I can give the sequels to this franchise is the lack of star power. You certainly aren't going into a Final Destination movie looking for a brilliantly written narrative or anything, but I'll bet the movies would have been 10 times better if they could have gotten some really big names and killed them. It's kind of cool. These movies are basically slashers without a slasher.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Like, it would be nice to see like one of these, like maybe with Bloodlines, it's just like, people will eventually realize the popularity of something and then jump on it later if they do a revival or something like that. It'd be nice to see a lot of big name stars get into something like this and then get fucking killed.
It would be awesome. But even if it was just like a CW crossover movie where they got every hot teen TV actor, like grab all the Euphoria kids and some other people and put them in a Final Destination. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking kill Ariana Grande.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Although then maybe we get into scary movie territory and then we're doing that.
Right.
Mm. You can't go too far.
They just have to play it straight.
You
know?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Last week we watched a movie called Messiah of Evil, mm-hmm. and Pat Hatfield says, I found this one to be unique and special with great cinematography, made apparently when the name of the game for horror movies was, can you come up with something that's distinct and scary and maybe has something to say if you look hard enough, and not, can you make something that jumps on whatever trend is current now, and if you have a point, make sure you bludgeon the viewer with it. It goes a long way toward proving that lesser-known odd duck horror movies are usually the best ones.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. Yeah.
I didn't see the movie, but mm-hmm. I like what you're saying.
Peter Gatt says, apparently the albino was Benny Robinson's only role, but I would have sworn I've seen him in other things. And that's ironic, Peter, because I also thought I'd seen him.
Yeah, he looked familiar.
In other things, but well, there you go. Travis Legler says, I'm completely with Holly. Temple of Doom. Oh, because the movie Messiah of Evil was written by, was it Willard Huck and Gloria Katz? Yeah. Who also wrote Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
But Travis says, I'm completely with Holly. Temple of Doom is the worst Indiana Jones movie, even with Crystal Skull and Dial of Destiny mixed in. For all the hate that Nuke the Fridge got, Temple of Doom was way more ludicrous.
You people don't like Temple of Doom?
I like Temple of Doom.
I like Temple of Doom.
Yeah, I like Temple of Doom.
Those first three, I don't have
I'd say Crystal Skull is the least. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with those first three.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
There you go.
Okay. The Butterfly Effect was the movie that we watched the week before.
Yes.
Dave Forbes says, that baby choking itself is epic. There's been a long discussion we've had about the alternate, if depending on how you saw that movie, it has one of two. The theatrical version is different than the video one. Andrew Carlson writes in, because this is because we had watched two Eric Stoltz movies in a row.
Stoltz
watched the Prophecy and the Butterfly Effect. Yeah. And he says, you need to watch Sleep With Me next. Possibly the greatest bit of Quentin Tarantino dialogue ever and the absolute best breakdown of Top Gun at the same time. Quentin Tarantino actually stars in that movie.
Oh, wow.
And he's in at a party, and there's a whole scene where he goes off on explaining how Top Gun is basically a giant gay metaphor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard,
and it's probably it exists by itself.
I remember this. Yes.
Mark Harrison.
Never heard of this.
It was like one in the 90s, there were these indie movies. Everybody was in them. Mark Harrison says, I remember the Butterfly Effect existing, but maybe I blacked out and prevented myself from watching it.
He's like, I remember it was there.
Yeah, but he actually had a butterfly effect. He went back in time and erased the fact that he had ever seen it.
Bravo.
There you go. That's, congratulations to you.
I think that's how you do it. I think that's what they were trying to do the whole time. And he pulled it off.
Okay, well, thank you, each of you, very much, sincerely, for writing in. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do love you. We do appreciate it. Before we get to reviews, I want to share one thing, because we are usually a horror movie podcast, and that's I had a horror movie moment today that I never thought I would have. I had a cat scare.
Oh, your cat scared you?
Cat scared the shit out of me.
Hell yeah.
I was doing laundry and moving some stuff around today. Opened some drawers and left them open because I went to the other way. And then I came back and I shut them and everything. 15 minutes later, I'm folding socks, going to put them in a drawer, yank one open, fucking cat's right there. And I'm just like, scared the shit out of me. And so I want to just let you all know, it happens in real life. Because I would
Did your cat go rare when she jumped out? No.
Okay. No, just look at me going, why'd you lock me in here?
Oh, but your cat asshole. Didn't jump. It just sat there. Okay.
No, but I pulled it out and it's just
this. Good to see this living thing in there just looking at
shit out of me. I'm like, what?
How did this even happen? I mean, imagine now every cat scare that you see in a movie.
You're going to be like, I lived it.
I have to give it legitimacy because I'm like, I went through
one. You're going to be like, I'm not going to fault this.
Right. No, I can't yell at it. It's possible to happen. Some version of it. I just wanted to share that. It does happen in real life. Horror movies are real. Look out, everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, now we're going to go around the table and tell you what we thought of tonight's movie, Final Destination 2, starting with...
There can only be one. It's Colin.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm choosing you. Go for it.
Torn, right, is my opinion on this movie. Okay. It is horribly written.
Like Natalie Imbruglia?
Yeah. It just has... I think it really was. There was so much reliance on the first movie that kind of killed it for me. The characters and just the dialogue that they had. It's like there's two movies here, right? And I guess that I'm like, well, how do you recommend it to someone or not? You see, there's you can almost split it, like all the dialogue scenes are exposition dumps to explain what's happening. Mm-hmm. But then there's a spectacular freeway collision, you know, chain reaction, death machine that happens at the beginning of this movie, which will go down or already has in popular culture and Hollywood. This is the defining, stay off the highway scene. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the death scenes, you know, which are spectacular. Mm-hmm. I would say all of them are spectacular.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
I cannot tell you, I guess, because I suppose both of you are probably more experts on the Final Destination series than I am. So at some point, I'm not sure which horrible death scene comes from which movie.
Yes.
I do remember, obviously, liking the first one a great deal, and I liked the fifth one because it was the first time I thought that something it was being done to the formula that kind of made it, you know.
And the special effects are really good.
And they're really good.
One, so.
And in 3D, it was also impressive.
Yeah, it has some good misdirects, too, I think. There's a couple. Because you know how, like, this movie does the fake out in the dentist office? The fifth one has a lot of those, so it's always
good
really
to have
well.
A misdirect. Yeah. They do them in these,
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. That. I mean, now that I'm putting them in that kind of context, maybe this is one of my least favorite Final Destinations, at least from the... from the narrative, from the scripting.
You really don't like the attachment to the first one in this
that
movie.
And the premonition that keeps on going, which is borrowed from another movie that but it just I didn't like that. But I guess, would you recommend the movie? So it is one, I think, as one of the commenters said, you're not going for the script. You're going because it is a murder machine, right, of happenstance and how does it happen. And in that case, it's like, well, I just said, I think they're spectacular. So I guess, I'm going to recommend that you watch Final Destination. If you liked Final Destination, you should see Final Destination 2. Obviously, it's going to have more of an interest for you because of all the connections. So I'd say
there you go.
Yes, Sean, what'd you think?
I'll make an argument that after a certain point you are going to this movie for the script, but it's to laugh because
you know it's gonna be ridiculous.
Because I think this movie could get into you try and put your frame of mind into the movies that are older that we watch down here, where you look at kind of the dialogue and how characters interact with each other and you laugh just because it's the ridiculousness of it.
That's a good point.
But you like it because it's just, I think this movie is that perfectly. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we've gotten far enough away from it.
Makes sense.
But I think you can, because these characters are so ridiculous in the way they talk to each other and how they interact, not as human beings, but as people in a movie trying to specifically get towards an ending or a certain event. And I think if you watch it that way, hilarious these people are.
Right.
Great. And if you watch it that way and then you look at the spectacular death scenes in this, right up there. Yeah. It is it had definitely more of an effect. I saw it when I was younger in a theater. That opening scene has that effect that it has on everyone. It scarred, like we said, everybody. But I think the death scenes are still really good. Again, the scripting is there's certain moments that I'm just like, especially when we get more towards the end. But there's enough there to be entertained by it. I think that it's all there. Good, some good, some bad. But still, I think highly entertaining. I recommend Final Destination 2. It's still up there. The first one, I think, is I'll call it a classic for me. I think that one just really hit at a time where it's – I just really love that first one. This one's, I think, really good for a lot of different reasons. But still, I think you'll get a lot of enjoyment out of it. I recommend Final Destination 2. Michaela, What did you think?
I mean, I love this franchise. I kind of wish there was like five more. Yeah, I wish there was like five more. Like, why did we ever
getting there, Michaela?
Why did we ever stop making these? Because they don't seem. Are they expensive to make? They don't. I mean, there's no star power here, right? So like, the money must go to the special effects. But like, the special effects aren't even that good. So it's like, how much do these really cost to make? Why are we not still making them? Like, there's what, like 10 Saw movies, but only like 5 Final Destinations. Right? That doesn't seem fair. I agree, Sean. I think you bring up a good point about like, you go because you know the script is going to be absurd on top of the insane kills. It definitely got to that point, especially I think the fifth movie has some real weird script stuff like that too, and some really despicable characters in that fifth one. But I was trying to think while you guys were doing your review, like, how would I rank these? And it's hard to rank them because like, the first one to me is almost separate, right? Yeah. Like, because it's just a different, it wasn't setting
almost
out,
because the rest of them are all reacting off of that.
Yeah. And like, the first one wasn't setting out to be like this ridiculous Rube Goldberg thing, right, the way their sequels are. But I mean, the first one's obviously the best quality movie of them all, and it's like, but I think that after that it would probably be like 3 and then 5 and then probably 2 and then 4, which like, that sounds like I really don't like 2, but it's I like them all except 4.
Right, I think you really have to watch all of them to understand that and be like, and be good with it. Yeah.
Right. But like, I like them all, and I like them for different reasons. Mostly 4 is just like, feels really out of step with the rest of them. Especially because it was supposed to be the final destination.
Right.
But it still has its good qualities though. And this one, I do agree, Colin. I don't like how much it gloms onto the original, and is like, these movies get a lot better when they just are unrelated.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they picked that up so quickly into this franchise. But it's really, I do wonder if their lack of sustainability is because they don't have any star power. Like, I wonder if star power, we would have 10 of them.
If it doesn't have star power, they end up feeling more like direct-to-video.
Yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
Like, we couldn't get anybody big, so
they feel cheap even though they're not. Right. Yeah, exactly. So they need to find a way to avoid that cheapness. But it would be cool. Can you imagine if we just like rotated out like horror directors and everyone got their chance to do a Final Destination? Wouldn't that be cool?
I will say, watching this tonight, it has reinvigorated my curiosity towards this franchise. I think I might actually watch the two that I have not watched.
I would be curious what you think.
I'm in for it now.
Didn't the third one, the guys who made the first one, like, came back and wrote it?
I think so, yeah.
There's some connection between the first and third, if not the same not the same director. Mm-hmm.
Was it the same director? Morgan came back. I know that. I think they at least wrote it.
Go listen to our episode.
It's incestuous, I think, as it goes forward.
Yeah, it's just. But could you imagine if like Zach Cregger did his Final Destination? Right. If Follows Guy did his Final, all the like the
ooh,
hot
the creepier,
yeah,
ooh,
all the hot directors right now got a chance to, or even if like they did an anthology series and they all got to do a segment in a Final Destination,
and you could still connect them all.
Yeah,
which would be in line with the series.
Exactly. There's
potential.
Lots of untapped potential here, and that's what's frustrating. But I would definitely recommend it. It's like, it is kind of like it was a cultural moment of a movie, so it's always fun to participate in those. So I would definitely recommend it. I know this franchise gets a lot of hate, but I think a lot of it is undeserved because like, there's nothing offensive about these movies, I don't think. I enjoy it. I think it's a good time. Freak show approved?
That means it's freak show approved. All right. That means contractually, by listening to the show,
you
have to watch it.
Like the rest of us, watch that opening scene.
You're right, though. I think there is this thing. The more distance you have from a movie, it becomes easier to recommend, and identify when a movie is being over the top. Bad movie, but it's in a good bad movie,
right? And you're right, cultural context of a specific time.
It's harder to do that with newer stuff. You hold them to a higher standard because you recognize the time that they're in. But you're right, man. Yeah. Okay, so next week we're gonna watch a movie that's chosen by
Colin. I almost forgot there for a second. Colin, what are we watching next week?
Well, there's a lot of exorcism movies in the zeitgeist right now. And
maybe not.
Well, no. What we want to do, right? If you're doing exorcism movies, you want to see how DC Comics did an exorcism movie, and that means we're doing Constantine.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
next week on Saturday Night Freak Show.
I haven't watched this in a while.
I thought you were going to say Abby, that one. I know. Yeah, well, I thought that's where you were
you
going.
You can track that down, but it is not available to anybody, but I haven't seen it.
Constantine, okay.
All right. Yeah,
Constantine with Keanu Reeves next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. We hope you'll join us, and until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.